Good morning.
Well, I'm going to be talking from the passage in Corinthians about generosity, but I ought to at least begin by introducing myself, either because you don't have a clue who I am, or because you've forgotten who I am. So either way, it would only be right of me to say who I am. So I'm Reverend Sid. I may have not been a reverend the last time you saw me, as I used to be here as a youth minister for 8 years. Then 2 more years, I hung on in there with my claws in Hemingford, hanging on whilst I went to Ridley to study theology. And I then left here to go to Peterborough, where I served my curacy in Orton Waterville and Orton Longville. And I managed to stretch that out by an extra year. But now I'm in my final 6 months, where the bishop has gifted me half a year to explore what it is that God is calling me to do next. And I suppose the nearest thing you could liken me to is a supply teacher in the clergy world. So Peter and Brian Atling have been fantastically generous to me, because I was kind of like told, just go and cover vacant parishes. Trust me, there's a lot of vacant parishes. And I don't think I'd really like to go to all of them, unfortunately. So it was lovely that Peter and Brian said, I'll tell you what, we'll take you under our wing in Huntingdon Deanery. And so I'm travelling around mainly this area taking services. And so it's obviously very special to come back here. I was proper nervous about coming back here. You know, like those passages of scripture where they say, don't go back to where you were and all that kind of thing. I thought, oh, I'd be really weird to be back. So it's actually just really lovely to be back and to see faces. And I can kind of point at you and say, it's your fault that I'm here doing this. There's definitely a man over there who wrote a reference for me to go for ordination. There's definitely a man over there who's my spiritual director for a few years. So there's all sorts of love and support and prayer that has covered my journey to this point. So thank you. It's got nothing to do with my talk, however, so I'll stop going on about that. And I'll get on with a little bit of a reflection from this passage from Corinthians about generosity. So there's three things that I want us to think about from the passage, and they basically go like this, that we know God's character, we know God's goodness, and we know God's generosity for us. We then receive it for ourselves, so it's not just the head knowledge, it's something that we deeply know within us, and then that we would pass it on and share it with others. Because I think that's what Paul is trying to do when he writes to the people of Corinth. So to set the scene for you, this letter, second letter to the people in Corinth, of Corinth, is a letter that Paul has written to encourage them. So Paul is off in one of his prison times, and he's writing letters to the church in Corinth. Corinth itself, I don't know if you know, you probably do, but Corinth was a seaport, and it was a major trading centre. So perhaps if you imagine, not quite on the same scale, but if you imagine the city of London, a place where trade and commerce, people come together, there's a hub of activity, it would have been a big community for those days, maybe a couple of 100,000 people all gathered in Corinth. And so with that, there comes a culture. In fact, there comes a variety of cultures as people sail in on a ship and they're bringing their trade and they're bringing different cultures from different parts of the world. And with that comes business. With that comes people making money, people losing money, people finding creative ways to make money. Now, I've taken a few weddings in the last few years, and I try not to explain all of this because it's a wedding day, but, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, where we have that passage about what love is, was Paul writing to Corinth saying, guys, you're in an interesting city there where there's a little bit of confusion as to what true love might be like. He's actually saying to them, do you know, you've got a witness to a pretty wicked city about how you should behave in the world. And he says, you know, the best thing you can do is that you can love. You can love each other with depth, with truth, and with realness. Because the place isn't particularly good in its ways. It's a little bit greedy. It's a little bit power-crazed. It's a little bit about individual glory. And so Paul says, you know, you've got to hang in there. You've got to stand firm to your belief. So Corinth, an interesting place. That's why he writes the first time. He writes in about AD 54, I believe, yeah, AD 53, 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians the following year, AD 54. And he's written to them the once, first letter, and now he's writing to them again. There's these distressed Christians in Jerusalem, and the people in the church in Corinth have said, we're going to support them, we're going to be generous, we're going to give to them. But Paul's getting a little bit worried about whether they're actually going to do that or not. And he's following up this letter. He knows that things aren't simple for them, like life never is. And they've come up against some challenges as a church and as individuals. They're in a hostile environment to live out faith. And he's perhaps, I don't know because I wasn't there, but either way he's writing to them to say, you know, You're going to do what you said you were going to do, right? You are going to be generous in the way that we hoped you would. I'll perhaps come back to that a little bit later on. But that's why he's doing that. And so we see in this passage, we just have a short part of it, but if you read 2 Corinthians 9 this afternoon, you'll just see a slightly the beginning and the end of that passage as well. Because Paul begins with teaching. And he's a very gifted communicator. But what he does is he writes this special little part. He says, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He's claiming something about God's character. He scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And what he's doing is he's referencing Scripture. He's actually linking to Psalm 112, and he's saying, do you know what? What you've got to do first is you've got to understand the character of God. Psalm 112 isn't particularly long, and it's very rich. I'm going to read it to you. It's called The Blessings of the Righteous. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked comes to nothing. That's Psalm 112. That's worth a read later on as well. Do you know, it was so important for Paul that the people in the church in Corinth knew their God. They had to begin with the Scripture, with the truth of who God is. Has always been and always will be. So the first thing was to know God. The second thing is to receive it for yourself. You know, this is the bit that I suppose I've thought about the most this week as I've been preparing this sermon. Because it's the shift from about here to about here. It's about a 40 centimetre move. It's not very far, but it's from your head to your heart. Seems to be a very long way. Well, it does for me anyway. It's the shift from the theory, the academia, the, oh yeah, I've heard that 1,000 times, to the place in your heart where it says, oh yeah, I'm going to let go of the dark side to just head knowledge, because there is a dark side to just holding things in your head. I'm going to let go of that dark side and allow myself to be transformed. I'm going to let go of certainty and control and calculated reason. And I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to have faith. So do you allow, this is a personal question, I'm not going to ask anyone to answer it, so don't worry. But do you allow God's arms of love to surround, envelop, and cradle you? You can see why I've thought about this all week. Because, you know, true generosity, I believe, always begins with a personal understanding that you have received God's generous love in your own life. I reckon I'll say that again. True generosity always begins with a personal understanding that you have received God's generous love in your own life. Do you know, I reckon it's why we heard it in this passage, God loves a cheerful giver. I don't think it's because of the outcome that someone gives, but I think it's because of the fact that they are cheerful. You see, they're cheerful because their heart is just purely attuned to God's. It's not really about the outcome, it's about the fact that they do it cheerfully because it's just so naturally what they've received and what they are passing on. So do you see yourself as unworthy? Do you see yourself just as a servant or a slave? Do you see yourself as not good enough? As a failure? Maybe a failure who might occasionally get things right? Do you see yourself as too stressed, too angry, too grumpy? Do you see yourself as never enough? Because that's going to have a problem with generosity. Or, what about this? Do you see yourself as fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God? Fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Do you see yourself as a child of God's, loved, cherished, worthy, no longer never enough, but now simply enough? Because you know, God extends to all of us his abundant, generous, expansive love. He says, I am always with you, and all I have is yours. It's right there at the end of the passage of the prodigal son. I am always with you, and all I have is yours. His generosity is recklessly extravagant, and he extends it with arms outstretched to you, to me, to all of us. This is what I reckon we need to know deep within our souls. So the next thing we have to do is pass it on. But you know, you don't have to say, oh, week on Wednesday, I've got to pass that generosity on. Because when you know it in your heart, you just naturally pass it on. You just become something that passes one thing to the other. It becomes a natural outcome of the generosity that you have received from God. So I don't need to say much about that. But there is something interesting about Paul's passage that he recognizes that there's a problem. Do you know, he's written this letter. It's not a letter that doesn't exist. He had to write it because he'd heard, he'd realized, he'd recognized, maybe he'd seen in his prayer life that there was something that wasn't quite right in the hearts of the people in the church in Corinth. And so he had to write to them. And maybe this is just, let's be aware that this is the reality of being human. But he recognizes that they've kind of lost touch a little with God, with worship, with teaching, with wisdom, with prayer, with making time for each other, with listening and encouraging and fellowship. It's just gone slightly off the boil for them. And there's a concern in Paul's spirit, maybe because of pressures around him, but either way, there's a concern that their generosity might have gone a little bit dry and a little bit cold. And so he's writing to them to say, you know what? Don't forget your first love. Don't forget the true character of the generous God who lavishes good things over you. Because he's always going to do that. Regardless of how you might respond, he will still always do that. So stay connected to God as source. So that's all I really have to share with you this morning. Generosity. Those three things. Know God. Know his character. Psalm 112 is a great place to start. That incredible blessing of the richness of God's character. Know that he is generous to you. Receive it for yourself. Let it soak in like a sponge with water. Don't let that plastic wrapping that's on a sponge that washes your car that you buy for a pound from Poundland, is it, in St. Ives. Take the wrapper off. Put it in the bucket. Squeeze it. Let it soak in. Know God's generosity in your own life. And then you'll naturally find that it will be passed on. The generosity will go on to others because you are compelled to do it in the same way that you received it from God. Amen.